This is episode number 299 with New York Times bestselling author Gary Vaynerchuk.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome everyone to today's show. Our guest is the legendary Gary Vaynerchuk. That's right. Gary runs VaynerMedia, which is one of the world's hottest digital agencies. He's also a prolific angel investor and venture capitalist, investing in companies like Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Uber, and Birchbox. He also hosts the Ask Gary V show and is a public speaker that delivers keynotes all over the world at a number of different events. I've been friends with Gary for a number of years. I think 6 or 7 years I've known him, maybe even longer. I've seen him speak all over the world. I've had some one-on-one interactions and intimate conversations with him. I've had conversations with him in group settings. I've seen him in every different type of setting. And I've watched a number of his videos, you know, heard it all. And so I wanted to make sure I asked questions that people haven't heard of his answers before. And people haven't heard it all. And so I really wanted to dive in today and get real and ask the questions that not a lot of people are asking Gary. So some of the things we cover today is how Gary's new book is different from all his previous ones, what failure is doing to young men and women in entrepreneurship today and how it's affecting them, the truth about Gary's work-life balance, and what you don't see on Snapchat. And this was a pretty raw conversation topic and answer that he gave, so make sure to listen to that part. Why Gary recently got serious about his fitness and the long game for it, how he preps and prepares before every big speech, and so much more. We cover a lot of great stuff here. I think you're really going to love this one. Make sure to share this out with your friends right now while you're listening. It's lewishowes.com/299. You can check out all the show notes and resources that we talked about in today's episode. Also, the full video interview is back there as well. Again, lewishowes.com/299. And without further ado, let me introduce you to the one, the only Gary Vaynerchuk.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak,
then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. Very excited about our guest today. His name is Gary Vaynerchuk. Good to see you, my man.
How are you doing? I'm glad we get to do this in person this time.
I know, man. I'm super pumped. And I appreciate you having me on your show a couple months ago for my book. So thank you for that big push. And a lot of people have said they found me because of you. So
no worries, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So hopefully I can repay the favor and we can sell a ton of books for you. You've got a new book out called Ask Gary V, hashtag Ask Gary V, One Entrepreneur's Take on Leadership, Social Media, and Self-Awareness. And let's start with that. Why did you decide to write this book? You've written a number of books on social media, marketing, and thought leadership. Why this book? Why now?
You know, it's a good question. I'm starting off my tour now, so I need to figure out how I'm going to answer this question. I mean, there's a lot of different variables that happened. Number one, it wrote itself, right? The fact that I've done so many episodes, I had so much content to put out, and I realized what the Ask Gary V show on YouTube was doing for me was it was allowing me to find different things about myself and bring different things to people that I hadn't historically done.
Right.
And so even if you look at the subtitle, self-awareness is not something I've been talking about or not something that's been associated with me.
Until recently.
Right. And what's happened is this book more so, probably the most since Crush It, is a more 360 view. Thank You Economy was very narrow to this new world we lived in where if you give, you get, things of that nature. Jab Jab was basically a textbook, literally, I didn't even do an audio book because it was all pictures and dissecting content on the internet. This, I talk about parenthood. I talk about, being a leader. I've built two actual businesses, a bricks and mortar e-commerce wine business that I grew from 3 to 60 million, and now a digital social agency, modern day Mad Men company, that I've grown from 3 to 100 million in revenue in 4 years. And I knew that there was more than I was giving about how I did that. That was one of the reasons I started the Ask Gary V show. It felt like the right thing to make a book out of. And the truth is, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy too, because the book itself is going to lead to awareness around the show, and it just becomes this one cycle. So
that's why I did my book. It's like building around the podcast.
And it's a very, very similar situation to what you did with your book. And the truth is, and I wonder how you think about this, I do think I will sell less books. And yours, yours is, even though it's about you and you're hardcore on the cover, I'm looking at it right now, it's still called The School of Greatness.
Right.
Mine is literally called Ask Gary V, right? And so I do think that will make it narrow. To me, what I wrote is the modern entrepreneurial blueprint, and that's what it is. And I think if it was called The Modern Entrepreneurial Blueprint, a lot of people at an airport or Barnes & Noble
would buy
it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, who's this dude? Fuck this dude.
Right.
So I think word of mouth is what's going to take this book to a different place. So far, I've been flabbergasted. I mean, literally two people who do not like me. There's just nothing else to say. There are people who think I have too much ego, or I'm too loud, or I'm too much for them in media, who got galleys from my publisher, who I'd never send galleys to because I wouldn't even want to disrespect them because I know they don't love my shtick. Loved it.
Wow.
And so I think it has a chance to be a big one for me.
I wish I could see it right now.
I know, I'm a dick, right?
It's all right.
Such a huge
You'll send me another galley.
You're like, where is it? I'm like, sorry about that.
It's all good. Speaking of entrepreneurship, I've got a lot of people asking questions that wanted to ask you questions from my social media. And one of them was about the recent video that you posted on entrepreneurship where you said it can't be taught.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
I need to be smart about it. I have to go look back in how we titled it, but I know what I said, which is it can be taught, but you can only go so far because of natural talent. It's fun to have this conversation with you because you're such an athletic freak. Most people don't lay on the couch and say, I'm going to be on an Olympic team and then pull it off. Look, I think that I could play basketball every day of my life, from the time I was 15 and put in 15 hours a day. And I think I'd be really good. I'd have a much better handle. I'd shoot better. Right. I would have been more competitive with you on the boat that day. Right. But would I've been good enough to be in the NBA? Absolutely not.
Maybe D3.
Maybe.
College.
Maybe. Maybe. And I do think right now that everybody thinks they can be an entrepreneur.
Mm.
And so my point was, it's much more talent than the current conversation. I don't think you can read The School of Greatness and my books and all these other books and watch Skillshares and watch Chase Jarvis and listen to Ferris and read Branson and even go to business school and have mentors and go to Y Combinator. And then all of a sudden, just because of that, you become a great entrepreneur. I think of it like the music industry. Think about all the kids that are born into, your Clive Davis's grandson or your Whitney Houston's daughter, or you have nothing but access. You're in the studio all the time. You learn the business. But if you don't have the chops, if you don't have the vocals, you're only going to go so far.
Right. Same thing with football players or like in athletics too. You see some children of former NBA or NFL stars who excel, but then others who are don't do anything.
Here's the punchline. It's much more talent than people realize. Mm. I see it every day. And the video I made was like, look, you have to be okay that by pouring in 18 hours a day and learning everything might only allow you to build a business that makes $100,000 a year.
Right.
There is an absolute misconception that the American dream is entrepreneurship and everybody can do it. The difference between entrepreneurship and football is everybody who's listening right now or watching can start a business. Not everybody can go work out for the New York Yankees. There's a system. There's no system in place for entrepreneurship.
Anyone can do it.
That, yeah, at 16 or 22 stops you and says, hey, man, you're going to lose a shitload of money and be miserable. And literally, I'll be honest with you. I'm starting this conversation for quite a noble reason. This is not me to impose my will and say, look how special I am. As a matter of fact, I'd rather think it's been the hard work than the talent. You know, I'd rather think it was something I did versus mom and dad had sex at the right moment. Mm. I'd much rather think that. The reason I'm going down this path is there's a recent phenomenon that's not being talked enough about in our culture and specifically in our world, which is what failure is doing to the young and men and women in our space. And, you know, we're sweeping under the rug a couple of the suicides in our space. We're sweeping under the rug the heavy depression and alcohol use. We're sweeping things under the rug. We want to show all the hoopla. I hate what's going on Instagram right now. Everybody living their fake life, putting up pictures of like baby giraffes and like hot chicks and $50,000 cash on a bed and a boat and painting a lifestyle that is not realistic. And I want to have this conversation because I think that I have a big enough voice to start the conversation about, look, there is a level of talent here. And what we need to all be doing is figuring out what we're best at and going all in on that. And by the way, do you know how much more money the number 2, 7, 15, 44th person at Facebook has than you and I?
Billions.
Billions.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit disappointed in a lot of ways. One, people that are bottom feeding and like signing up for every ebook and mastermind and course, and they're not talented enough and they're chasing a lottery ticket and they're going to get depressed and get sick. Mm. Or great kids that have tons of talent who would have been great number fours and made tens of millions of dollars and had work-life balance who are being pressured into becoming the next Mark Zuckerberg and are going to fail multiple times in a startup and not really start becoming that executive until they're 32, 33, 34 and learn some things but be behind the ball in a world that they could have been successful for. There's absolutely a ton of kids right now that would have been better off being kids that were in their 20s and 30s and 80s and 90s because they would have been consultants and COOs and CFOs and had an incredible life. And instead, they're only going to get really started at 32, 33, and they'll win a lot of experience and they'll have hopefully a lot of fun. But unfortunately, I know a lot of B's and I know a lot of 2s, and that's not for their makeup either. So for me, I have to do this.
Yeah.
It's why I was failed school. It's why I sold baseball cards when I was 14. So for me, I'm okay with the failures, the losses along the way. It's my natural state. I just want people who are listening to find their natural state and not force into the current narrative.
So how does someone find out what they're best at? And what are you best at?
You know, I'm best at selling. I'm best at using my words to make things happen, whether that's selling me, whether that's selling my agency, whether that's selling a bottle of wine, whether that's selling a book. I'm good at that.
Yeah.
I'm good at storytelling to make a transaction happen. How one finds it, I don't know. And I think about this a lot. I think about self-awareness. I think about EQ. I think about finding that. I've been talking more about finding the 5 people that are closest to you to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that? Have I done it for myself or for other people?
Yeah, found 5 people. Or...
I don't feel like I needed it, but I could be wrong. Mm. But I feel like I'm, the truth with me, especially, meditation's about to explode, right? I'm probably saying this.
It's already been exploding. Yeah.
But it's about to become Starbucks and SoulCycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably saying this just because I need a recall in 3 years to say I told you so. So you're going to get some traffic to this episode from me in 4 years. Meditation is going to go very mainstream, right? Like everybody will go to meditation.
There's already a studio here in LA that's
of course.
Just
LA,
meditation.
New York, it's just happening. Yeah. It's 4 years from now, it will be just like working out.
Headspace, all these
100%,
apps.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Where was it going? Oh,
sorry.
I'm scared to get into it because I'm so goddamn happy that I'm scared that if I meditate, it's going to open up another path in my brain that may lead to something that isn't what I have right now. That's why I'm also not trying to explore more self-awareness.
Give me feedback. Give me
I don't need it. Yeah, yeah. I'm so goddamn happy. I'm scared to like with it.
You don't want to mess with it. Yeah, no. It's already working for you. So let's talk about work-life balance.
Yes.
You mentioned that with, you know, the twos and the Bs and everything. Bunch of people ask this question. I'll just kind of paraphrase it. How are, and I'm sure you've been answering this a lot, but how does work-life balance work for you? And essentially when you're doing all these daily Vs now from 5 a.m. working out till 12:30 a.m., 15, 20 hour days.
This daily V vlog has been an interesting thing in my life for two reasons. Number one, the ego part of me. I'm so pumped that I'm finally establishing that nobody's outworking me. Like people like
you're documenting it now.
People like you, like my inner, like people that were either in my inner circle or really knew who I was or have spent some time with me. You know, because you would email Matt DeMeo or Nate back in the day or Phil Toronto, and they would say, cool, can you meet from 11:15 to 11:19 on what, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so my friends or people that I was closer to or businesses, they kind of over the last 4 or 5 years figured it out. I'm so pumped that the market is starting to understand. On the flip side, it has brought up a lot of questions about my work-life balance because what's happened in parallel is like, wait a minute. This guy really is working 6 to 11:30 every day. When the hell does he have time for his family? I couldn't do that. This seems extreme. Is this healthy? Like, how does this end up? Twofold. Number one, my work-life balance is the way everyone's work-life balance is, which is everybody has their own version. I feel like it's very similar to parenting. I would never give people parenting advice. You can see in my book, I talk about parenting, but I hedge every answer, which is like, you do you. By the way, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
You do you. Like, the thought of telling people how to parent is insane. You have no context. You know, listen, I have empathy that most people don't have context for Lizzie and I's relationship. They don't understand her independence. They don't understand that she also is emphatic that she and the kids are not involved in any of my public domain. So, you know, if you watch
my, don't talk about
that's
them,
right. If you watch
them.
Snap and my Snapchat stories and my Daily V carefully, and by the way, I recommend this for nobody because nobody should watch me that carefully, but you can see where there's hours of blocks of time. You know, there is nothing going on the weekends. The, you know, there's these, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, two Fridays ago, you know, I was gone at noon with the kids and spending a ton of time all day. We went away together a little bit. There was no content, but because of that, you know, I'm painting a picture. I'm controlling my story.
You're never showing that you're with your family or.
I'm not showing it. And I'd love to in some ways, because I think it'd be cool to document it for the kids one day, but I don't want to make the decision for them to be public. And so, look, my work-life balance is more extreme than 99% of people. I recognize that for now. And that's the important part. Right. For now, it's working for my wife and I and family. I don't think it's sustainable. I don't even want it. My kids are 6 and 3 now. They're starting to become real.
6 and 3, man. I remember when the first one was born.
We're getting old, brother.
It's crazy.
You know, I don't want to miss stuff. I haven't. Anytime I'm in New York, I'm not missing any recital or things of that nature. But if there's one today, I'm missing it. I'm in LA, right? And it's a constant process. But yes, I'm working a lot.
What would you say percentage-wise of spending time with family every week versus work? Is, you know, 80-20?
Let's see. So 2 days a week is of 7, you know, so that's 30. I mean, it's probably 65, 35, 70, 30 work.
Yeah.
But that's only because I'm all in on the weekends. And over this next kind of 6-7 week period, because I'm doing a lot of stuff for the book, there's some Saturdays that I'll miss here and there. So, you know, it can be 60. It could be 70, 30, 75, 25 during a normal week, but I'm also taking about 6 to 7 weeks vacation.
Right.
That's 100%
really?
Family. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
2 weeks in August, 2 weeks in December when everybody shut down.
Sure.
And then usually a week in, you know, March for spring break and a week in June or July.
Right.
So I'm taking a lot more vacation time than I used to. I'm up from 2 weeks. So listen, I'm like everybody who's listening right now. I'm doing the best that I can.
Yeah.
I need everybody to understand this. If I didn't do what came naturally to me, there'd be much bigger problems.
You'd be miserable.
That's right.
You'd be miserable. You'd be thinking, you wouldn't be present when you're there with your family either, probably.
And I challenge a lot of people to understand that when they're there with their family, a lot of you are coming home at 5 o'clock, but you're also going to the bowling team. You're also playing Halo. You're also like
watching TV.
You're watching TV and the kids are on the iPad. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do is maximize the attention time when I'm there, not only just the physical time. And so look, I don't think I'm crushing it. I don't think I'm right for most people. You know, I think I'm very affected by the fact that my dad wasn't around until I was 14. And that meant I worked at the store and got to see him. So I lived in an extreme work-life balance scenario that I grew up with, which probably gives me comfort. I was talking to one of my buddies whose dad was home at 5 o'clock every night and it's foreign to him. And so I have empathy for that. My wife also grew up with a dad that was constantly away and was building his career. So she's used to it. So I know that we mix. That way, that works. If I married a woman whose dad was home at five, I'm sure there'd be more tension. If I had a dad that was home at five every day or mom, you know, if they were working, then I'm sure I wouldn't be comfortable with it. But I think the circumstances of our lives have created our situation. And I think that we're dramatically happier than a lot of people that spend 80% of their time together. Right. And so, you know, you fight for it.
Mm-hmm. And when you're with your family, are you ever on your phone? Are you thinking about business or do you allow yourself to shut off?
I mean, I'm desperately trying for 100% attention.
Yeah.
I'm probably achieving 80,
yeah.
Which is better than 50, which is where I was probably 3 years ago.
Right.
So chipping away. And on vacation, I've gotten to 100,
mm-hmm.
which is why those have become very special things. We also bought a summer home now, and I'm hoping that I can hack into more time that way.
Is that upstate New York or something?
In the Hamptons.
Oh, nice.
And okay. So it's a little bougie, but
yeah,
it's super fucking cliche. but that's a great story.
Yeah.
We tried not to buy in the Hamptons because I was worried that I'd be in the work zone. Uh-huh. Last year, we went on a kind of 4-year tour, different places. Last year, first day, we're in the Hamptons. First day, I walked to the market with my little guy. I run into the guy that runs Pinterest in New York. 4-minute conversation leads to business. It was only 4 minutes. I walk back home and I go to Lizzie, let's buy here. And because it's, you know, and that whole summer, I probably spent 6% of my time at work, a couple of breakfasts, a couple of, you know, dinner, a couple things. So I'll call that a 50-50, but I'd call 6% as the net score. And I needed that 6%. You can't, look, my friends, you can't run away from who you are.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
You can try to mold yourself into a politically correct world, and luckily we're way beyond, well, not way beyond, this is unfair, but I'm glad the world is now focusing on other variables. We'll always have race and religion and sexism and those things, but now we're leveling up even into like, what's a modern dad and like, you know, what work-life balance and things of that nature. Look, I know the optics. I know I'm living a public persona. I know I have to answer these questions. Look how many work-life questions you got.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be politically correct. I'd like to be perfect. I'd like to make it easy on myself to not have to deal with the stress of the optics on the outside. Here is the punchline problem. You can't run away from who you are. You can't. And so I'm ambitious. Like, I want it, and I want it real bad.
Why?
I'm not sure. You know, I was born an immigrant. I'm not super tall. You know, I like losing. I like what happens to my testosterone and my energy when I take a loss. It gets me more motivated.
You should play ping pong more often.
I love my legacy. You know, I want to be remembered as a good dude and somebody who did it right. I feel the pressure of my talent. I know I have something, and I feel like equal gratitude as I do pressure to execute against it. I'm aware that I'm different, and it would be such a I lived 22 to 30 building a big business, but I wasn't doing outrageously special things, and I felt it.
Consistently growing something.
I was building a business. I'm super proud of that. I'm pumped that I didn't come out and become a pundit and a talking head at 22 and all these 18-year-old life coaches on Instagram. Like, I'm not into that. So I'm glad I had that meat and potatoes to come out and say, look, I built this. This had nothing to do with books or speeches or personal brand. This was a business I built. I was 32 years old before I said anything about business to the world. Yeah. I have a lot of pride in that. At the same token, while I was in it, I knew there was more. I knew there was this Gary Vee thing. I knew that there was bigger and better and all-time stuff. And so, you know, it's a seesaw of trying to find your cadence. And I think one of the things that I would tell a lot of people who are listening, and I know you have a young crew. I see a lot of, you know, and when I say young, I mean under 40. It's stunning. And not, look, I'm 40. You could be 46. And it's a mindset. But here's where I'm going with it. It's stunning how much time you have to pull it off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When were you on the couch and your sisters? How old?
24.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of 24-year-olds listening right now.
And I have nothing, you know.
Right. And they're confused. They're like, well, you know, I need to do it and this and that. And so I think I love life, and I think that I don't want to die. And I think the only way that I know how not to die is to leave a big time legacy.
This is interesting. Jerick Robbins, I think you know, he said, but what if he got to the end of the journey in life and on the very last day figured out he was dead wrong? Just makes you put things in perspective. Truth is, no one actually knows. I'd be curious to hear what his response is.
It's a great question. I will tell you that if my DNA continues to go the way it goes, I'm not capable of crying about spilled milk. Mm-hmm. And if I'm laying on my deathbed one day to go and I say, you know, I should have been a stay-at-home dad, or shit, I should have invested in Uber in the angel round when I said no.
Did you have two opportunities for that?
Let's not talk about it. And you know, what are those things? I got a picture to show you. Check out this picture of Travis at the Super Bowl with Woody Johnson.
Let's see, Travis who?
Travis Kalkin, founder, CEO of Uber.
Gotcha.
One of my best buds. There's a picture of him with Woody Johnson, and it says, you're out of the deal.
Oh, man.
And the scary part is my homie Travis can actually buy the Jets.
Wow.
So that kind of shit motivates me, right? Yeah. Travis is my buddy in Crush It. Travis is like traveling around with me to my keynotes, just hanging out.
Really?
In between his gigs, angel investing, right? And now he's like one of the four or five most prominent technology CEOs and one of the wealthiest on paper.
Crazy. What's he worth now? Well, what's Uber?
80 billion. So he's probably, I mean, he's got to be 10, 12, 7, 9. I mean, something just mind boggling. And, you know, that's motivating. This is my homie who I acknowledge and crush it. The only person I acknowledge besides my family.
Wow.
And asked me to invest in this company. And I'm an investor. And I passed twice an angel at 4 million.
Why?
Stupid stuff. I just bought a new apartment. I was super not liquid. I was using my own money back then. And Travis and Garrett, who found it, weren't going to run it. And I was doing a lot of side projects that weren't working at the time. And so just one of those things, right? Yeah. Like I just missed it. Anyway, I'm just living life like everybody else. I just want to squeeze that orange harder than most people.
You know, you're so good at investing and predicting what's going to be big. You've been talking about Snapchat, what I want to dive into in a second, but how come you haven't started your own app, your own social, you know, like Snapchat or Uber or something like that?
I'm good at knowing what I'm good at.
Yeah.
You know, self-awareness. Yeah. I think I have it. I don't think I'm Travis or Zucks or, you know, Ev or, you know, any of the Kevin Systrom. I don't have a drive in my stomach to create a product. There's a couple that I've thought of, but for now, I still think I can get around to it. Mm. I'm feeling good about what I'm doing right now. I'm building VaynerMedia to be a machine for me for the rest of my life.
How many employees?
600.
It's crazy. I remember going into your first office with like four of you.
Yeah.
In New York.
That's right. And so I'm proud of that. You know, it's $100 million business. I mean, look, crazy. I told AJ the other day, I'm like, VaynerMedia is going to end up being the by accident billion-dollar company. You know, I right now have nothing but my health stopping me from building a billion-dollar agency, which is wild. You know, that's kind of weird. Yeah. To me, that in 10 years, if I don't want to do anything else and if I don't get distracted 10 years from today, I mean, probably sooner, which is scary. Company's probably worth $300 million right now. Mm. And I know most people that follow me carefully don't realize that. There's a funny Google result of the second search on me is what's my net worth. Mm. And there's one of these cockamanian sites that says it's $10 million, right? And so I laugh at that because people tweet about that quite a bit and ask me, like, why am I doing so poorly? And then I try to remind them. I'm like, guys, how in the world do you think my net worth is $10 million when, you know, like they like add up all the conversations of the businesses and like I'm always confused by how people don't like it's stunning what people will believe. Mm-hmm. Some random like SEO based website that's hacking people's names is their belief. Meanwhile, they know I co-own a $60 million business, mm-hmm. which in that world is probably worth anywhere between 40 and 80. You could probably sell Wine Library for a little less, its revenue a little bit more, right? So that's 20 to 40. The property Wine Library's on is worth 10. And it's like, I've been stunned to learn, I guess I'm not going there with humble bragging or clarification. I'm going there with people just don't understand business. Mm. Like people, like, I don't know, like I'm sure you've had people say, oh, that's how many books you sold. You made, like, they don't even think about that. You don't get all that much. Like somebody right. once said to
you
me,
like a dollar.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you sold all these. I'm like, don't you know there's a publisher? Don't you know yes. there's like it's just people's basic business knowledge is interesting to me. Mm. And it's just an interesting time.
Right. So why heavily vested in, you're the one who got me on a Snapchat. I was on there like a year before you told me for like a couple weeks, I didn't get it. And then you said at the dinner with Jim Quick, you were like, you got to get on there. And I'm really grateful I did because I sold a ton of books through it and it's been really helpful for me.
Attention. I will go down in history as somebody who understood consumer attention. What am I good at? Not only am I good at telling you a story to get you to do something, regardless of if I'm doing it for myself, my client, whatever, I'm really good at understanding where to find you to tell you that story. Mm-hmm. And I'm really good at understanding when there's not a lot of other voices trying to get you to buy something. That is my narrative.
Right.
1996, e-commerce site, nobody was doing it. 1997, email service, 90% open rates, nobody was doing email marketing.
Right.
Google AdWords, 5 cents a click. YouTube. And then the YouTube part is fun because everybody who's listening right now can go watch episode one of Wine Library TV, which, you know, was February of 2006, which is less than a year after YouTube was out.
Wow.
And to make everybody understand the internet 10 years ago, people were still not on it.
Yeah.
And they were definitely not looking for the next cool thing. And so, and then Twitter and then, you know, Facebook and then
Instagram.
Instagram was a little bit slower on, truthfully. We did a marketing campaign 11 days after Instagram came out. I'm not good at taking pictures. And that was a platform that was hard for me to like really get going. I finally got serious about it when I rebooted my personal brand 18 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, I was real quiet in between, you know, probably 11 to 14. Like for me, there's not a lot of content.
Right.
There's not a lot of content. There was Thank You Economy is my least selling book because I didn't promote it very heavily.
Yeah.
But Snapchat, I'm going to end up being very right about. It's been fun because I didn't realize how, and I kind of gave you daps for this and several others. I kind of did an interview the other day and everyone's like, why are you getting so, like you made everybody go on Snapchat that weren't like, that wasn't on it. Kids are that. And I said, you know, it's not that my brand is that big. It's really not. It's that so many people that have followed me the last 5 to 7 years, they've gotten big.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten big.
Yeah.
Other people have gotten big and they know that I'm right because they've been with it.
We're all attracting more people on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think I saw one of your videos where you said you get 25,000 views on Snapchat right now. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
I'm about 27 to 8 to 30, yeah. Almost 30 now, finally.
It's huge. I'm at like 2,000 on a good day and I'm like, but it's still really powerful. Those 2,000 views are so much more powerful than whatever.
Lewis, Nate Westheimer, a good friend of mine. You know Nate?
I'm not sure.
So. Really good guy from the early tech days, New York guy. When I had 5,000 Twitter followers, 5,000 in 2007, 2008, and we were at South by 2008, I think, and I said, follow my friend Nate, 1,000 people followed.
It's crazy.
1,000.
Crazy.
And so now I have 1.2 million. If I said follow my homie Lewis, you get like 18.
Yeah.
34. So, you know, it's a noise ratio thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Snapchat has attention right now at scale.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a Snapchat Instagram world with Facebook still being really the world, mm-hmm. but you've got to do paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so from an organic reach standpoint, for everybody who's listening to build, it's an absolute Instagram Snapchat world.
Yeah, and even just your buddy, your fitness trainer, what's
Mike?
His name? Mike. Yeah, he's
exploded.
He's building his business more on Snapchat with probably
he's freaking out
500 views.
He's freaking out $400 a month for his virtual fitness thing, and Snapchat's becoming the most important thing.
Yeah,
he couldn't believe it. And this is I yelled at him on at CS January 4th. He started getting serious. Where are we? 6 weeks in.
Yeah.
And making, more than SEO, more than email, more than Facebook ads, Snapchat is driving.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Lewis, you should probably get even a little bit more serious about, like, when I think about how many people listen to this podcast, mm-hmm. you need to think about throwing an extreme right hook maybe in this episode or make me doing a Snapchat only episode. Like, you've got to be able to get another 5,000 to 8,000 people out of this listenership to follow you guys.
Yeah.
Follow Gary VEE on Snapchat.
I'll make sure to get that linked up to you. Yeah, I've been promoting it more and more. It's just, I don't know. I have some of these big YouTuber friends. They get like 500,000 views on Snapchat. You're just like, how is this even possible?
You know, they're doing that because their audience is younger and into that kind of content.
Yeah.
Us business or motivation or life stuff,
different.
We're never going to have those kind of audiences. What I'm proud of, though, is the impact is
but they're
extreme.
Buyers, too, and they're...
Oh, they're incredible. I mean, listen, I wish I was 16 years old with light blue eyes and every teenage girl in America liked me too. Or I wish I was straight 10 chick and like could my
smoking
body was
hot
on.
Body.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
okay,
being a hot girl is like my dream. I wish that's who I was when I grew up. You know, like that's leverage for days.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly what to do with that. You know, that's just not our truth.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be the best platform for you selling books with this new book coming out? What do you think is it? Because I saw you doing the Instagram,
it's a really good question.
Snap a photo, Snapchat, Facebook. What's good to sell the most?
Influencers.
Getting other influencers
homies.
To promote. Yeah. Podcasts and other promotion.
Yep. Podcasts, as we all know, are doing extremely well. That's why I'm here hustling. And like, I know there's 20 to 40% of your audience, especially with your growth, that has never heard of me. And as much as we're all out there, you still find pockets. And I'm excited about that. Hello, everybody who I've never met before. Number two, I'm very hot on this Instagram book review thing I'm going to do.
I saw you promoting that.
I'm going to be very aggressive about this. Basically, all my friends that I think are not going to buy 20 to 400 books. And, you know, I think that was one of the best pieces of advice I gave you, which is just go in and ask.
Yeah, which I did and sold, I don't know, got around 10,000 pre-orders just from asking people.
Huge, right?
Yeah, it was huge.
You just go in for it and you tell them, and you make them feel safe. Like, hey, homie, you know, I know we're best friends. I know I've done you 9 favors. But you can't do it. Cool. You might not be liquid. You might not want to do it.
Right.
You know, I don't know. So I don't, as long as you're capable of not being disappointed that somebody you've done a lot for doesn't buy any, you do it. But for everybody else who's not going to do that, I'm going to push very hard for a very real Instagram book review. Picture
that's
the book.
That's powerful.
I think so.
It's been huge for me because a lot of people are still tagging me every day that they're reading the book. And then I just see the comments of people like, oh, I should go buy that book or I should check it out. And it's just,
so I'm gonna force that
in the
same way that – so I would say what you're doing with that is the pre-model that I came up with, which was you send an email blast to everybody and say, look, I never do that. You know, you remember those?
Yeah.
The email is, I never normally do this, but this book really means a lot to me and da-da-da. And what that did was it gave everybody permission to not do.
Mm.
That's what I think having serendipitous book reviews on Instagram is right now. I'm going to go out and actually fundamentally have 700 to 1400 people leave a substantial review. And what's cool about that is a person who has 297 people following them on Instagram, 150 of them are really going to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that same friend has 11,000 Twitter followers and like 4 are going to really consume it.
Maybe.
And this is why Twitter has a problem.
Yeah.
It's not about width. It's about depth. It's not how many you reach. It's how many you touch with it.
Yeah. Okay. Health and fitness. We got about 15 minutes before I know you got to bounce. Why did you invest? I think it was 15 or 18 months ago you started investing in your health. Now, I've always seen the importance of training like a pro athlete in business because I feel like it's what gives me my edge. It gives me my competitiveness, keeps me sharp, keeps me confident. I have like that momentum every single day. But why did you decide that it was important? And also, how have you seen the benefits and the results in business? Has it translated since?
I'll answer number two. Yep. Zero. Mm-hmm. And it's like the answer that nobody wants me to give, but it's the truth because I had the energy before.
Right.
You know, I had the sharpness. I just don't see it. I have not seen it. It doesn't feel different. Number one's the more interesting question.
Before you go on number one, would it in 20 years?
Of course. That's the answer.
Would you have the energy?
Of course. That's the answer. I am successful in business because I don't give a fuck about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I care about 36 months from now, 52 months from now, 83 months from now.
Yeah.
When everybody who's our contemporary is saying now, Gary, Snapchat, what? Like, I'm like, cool. You're judging Snapchat right this second. Mm-hmm. You haven't started doing it, mm-hmm. or you just started and you only have 187 people watching your stories.
Yeah. You're going to where the puck's going to be.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, you're not worried about 2022 when your email service and your Twitter account aren't relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do?
Right.
So I'm definitely in a place where at 38 and a half, I'm on this random flight. I like how I'm saying 38 and a half. 30 and a half, I'm on this random flight. I'm just laying there, not feeling tired, not feeling lethargic, no cliche thing, no heartburn that I think I'm getting a heart attack, nothing. I'm just laying there and I'm saying, you know, if I treated my health the way I treated businesses, I'd win. And so I just started, actually, I remember what happened because I was like, doesn't feel right. I was thinking about my 40th birthday. And I was thinking, you know, at 30, I changed my life. I went from the executor to I need to go for it. If I don't do from 30 to 40, it's not going to happen. So let me go for it in that decade. And I was like, what am I going to do at 40? Weirdly, I don't feel the same pressure I did at 30. I think I'm on a better career path. Like, I don't feel the angst to, like, it didn't feel right to triple down on work. And so I said, health. Health is nowhere close to where it should be. I'm the way I make fun of people in business, you're not doing anything right that's going to help you long term. I'm not doing anything right with health. When I turn 40, I'm going to get serious. So then a week later, I'm on a flight again. Flights made me think. And I'm like, what am I waiting to 40 for? I could do a lot of bad in this next 18 months. 39 in November. This is around May.
Mm-hmm.
And in November, I'm going to go for it. And literally the next morning, I'm like, why? And I literally called Mike.
Yeah,
and who was my last trainer? Yes, John originally did Roman, and then did I call Roman and ask him for a kid? No, I called Mike. I called Mike and I said, Mike, do you have a kid who you think would follow me around 24/7 for 2 years? Sign up. I'll pay him out. He's my personal food, workout, and he's like, well, what about me? I'm like, but aren't you doing too much money? Like, isn't it going too well? And he said, yeah, but it's worth it. I mean, his strategy in this was huge. Yeah. He got paid a lot of money, and his business is 5X'd.
There you go. The online business.
He sat at VaynerMedia and just watched all the behavior. I mean, he should have paid me. Mike, you should have paid me. This next person I'm hiring is going to do me and my wife.
Wow.
And is going to get paid a lot less because I know I'm going to help him build a business.
Right.
And the third person, I might just make it like a barter. And the fourth person, I might actually make them pay me.
Right. That's interesting because someone asked a question. What would it take for someone to work with you at VaynerMedia and to be close to you throughout all the time?
You know, there's an 8-person Gary team for content and biz dev and all that. That's the closest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of my assistants, you know, I'm about to go to two assistants. So one, my assistant or that 8-person team. The truth is it's been complete serendipity. The way it's really worked is they've either been a fan of me or not, gone into Vayner, worked there a year, out-hustled everybody and had talent and then caught my eye and then I brought them into my inner team. So that's the answer. You got to go work at Vayner.
Put your time in.
A ton of fans have come to work to Vayner mainly just to get close to me and sucked and I lost a lot of equity with them immediately and they've lost. A lot of people interested in me have come, fall in love with the business and don't even want to be part of my team and want to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's been people that have come in and have joined my team.
Right. What's your biggest weakness or the thing you're trying to overcome lately?
I think my weakness will end up being too much patience. You know, I can be a lot richer. I can be a lot more powerful. I'm always hedging. I'm pushing. I'm always worried about where the puck's going instead of at times when I went to where the puck was going and I got there, I didn't squeeze it hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example?
YouTube. I was so right, but then I left it.
You went to Vidler, right?
Exactly.
Is Vidler even around right now?
No. Yes, but no.
Right.
I email marketing. I could have met much harder. Google AdWords, I was so right. And that's why I've really squeezed social much harder, because I learned from digital 1.0 all the mistakes I meant by leaving too early. So the global version of that, back to Jarek's question, is at 85, 90, the one thing I will say is I didn't throw enough right hooks. And if I don't get what I want, I'm going to blame it on not going in for the close as much as I could have.
How do you judge how much you're closing, if it's too much or if you're...
Intuition, right? Yeah, just my gut, right?
If people are reacting like, they're not...
And I get so mad when I go in for the right hooks like this book right now. There's people like, oh, Gary, throwing way too many right hooks. You're starting to become spammy. I'm like, dude, for the last 2 years, I've put out nothing but content for free.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand in this 45-day promotion period, it's going to feel like a little much.
Yes.
It's a global right hook. Consider the next 90 days a right hook.
Yes.
And if I'm not interesting, unfollow me, tune me out. I'll be back to your regular schedule program in July, where you're getting nothing but content for me for free while you're paying some fucking douchebag $180 for his ebook or $10,000 a year for a mastermind where they tell you nothing. I'm giving you true value advice for free. Sorry, I'm asking you for an $18 book, dick.
I know. It's like 15 on Amazon, right? It's like, it's interesting because when my book came out, you know, I've been doing this podcast for 2.5 years before the book came out, 3 episodes a week, just producing content, spending money on a, you know, a video person, editing it. It's like only for free. And I didn't even have sponsors the first couple of years. And I did the same thing. I was like, okay, for 30 or 45 days, I'm going to push this hard. But people said the same thing. I'm like, I give you so much for free.
And listen, by the way, they're right. Not me and you. You and I are crying right now. They're the market. They're right.
Right.
I just have gotten to a place where I'm like, look, like I'm willing to take that loss with that individual because I've been through 4 or 5 rodeos now. I know that they'll come back because my value's too much.
Yeah.
Like, truth is, it's just too valuable. Like, cool, but like, it's just too valuable.
Yeah.
In a world where a lot of people just made a lot of money by following my blueprint on Snap. Do you know how many people literally watch everything I say and then create $200 programs and run Facebook ads of like, and they're experts on Snapchat, and literally I have a message from them on Snapchat from 5.5 weeks ago that says, you really think this is gonna be big? Literally I can name 2 people right now that I have an email for, like the Snap message from, saying, you really think so? Or the second guy's really funny, I don't see it, is his first Snapchat message to me right now, running Facebook ads for his $300 Snapchat blueprint book.
Wow.
And making bank.
Making bank.
Running them against people that are fans of me. And my fans are falling for it. Mm. And then yelling at me for asking for an $18 book.
Right.
When I'm the, I mean, just the whole thing's so.
Why haven't you ever gotten to creating online courses and teaching these strategies?
You know what?
And leveraging that.
You know, I just did something Udemy and I've done stuff with, Udemy, exactly how much I'm paying attention to it.
Right. I see their ads all over Instagram for you.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I'm letting some of the platforms take free money from me, because I think 4 or 5 years ago, online courses were done by the lowest of the low, and I didn't want the association.
Now they're a lot more professional with Creative Live.
A lot
Live
more. Creative Live. Chase is doing a great job.
Yes.
Skillshare. So I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. And honestly, if I have a really bad experience and too many people get upset about me going right hook, I'll just shut the whole thing down and go only paid.
Right.
And then see how much they like the alternative of getting everything for free every day.
Right.
And now having to pay $100 a month to get access to it.
Yeah.
And they won't cry about the $18 book as much.
Sure.
And like, by the way, everybody who's listening, I am salty about it because there's a reason to be salty about it. We live in a world right now where there are very few people that are giving away the best information for free.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see people doing it, I have Jason Fried. Nothing but a respect for that man. You know, like, you know, when you see it, you've got to acknowledge it. And
yeah.
So I'm a little bit disappointed with certain individuals' response to the post that says buy my book. I mean, like, what the fuck are we talking about?
I mean, how much are you investing in your content, your free content every year that you put in? You've got 2 video full-time video people. You've got a whole team for Ask Gary Vee.
And by the way, again, I can feel myself right now in my heart saying, but they're right. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, I'm pulling from these very opposite directions, which is, I have empathy. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to see, especially when you're not used to it.
Mm.
I get it. It's funny. It's almost like the Donald Trump thing. I think a lot of people are buying from these spammer people. because that's all they hear from them, and they don't expect anything less. And so, whatever.
Right.
You know, it's a very, you know, it really fits with my jab, 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 right hook thing. The truth is, though, I think we're also being a little sensitive. When I look at my mass numbers, the 13 people that are complaining about it compared to the million aren't, I think I'm being a little bit soft here.
And so,
cue Gary. I just needed to say that.
All right, I got a few questions left. I've got
let's do
so
power
many
round.
More. I've got so many more.
Let's go speed round then.
Okay, cool. What day and year are you going to buy the Jets, and how much is it going to be for?
That's a fun question. I'm 40, 2041, January 12th is the day the Jets won the Super Bowl in 1969, $7
billion. 2041.
I need time.
Wow.
I'm not doing behavior that's going to make me rich enough.
Yeah.
I'm a tortoise in a hare's body.
Yeah, yeah. $7 billion. How old will you be then?
65. And you know what? Now that I hang out with a lot of 65 and 70 and 75 year olds, like, remember how old you thought a 40 year old was 5 minutes ago?
So old.
I'm 40. I feel
that's crazy.
Like, right?
Yeah.
Well, you think we're homies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, four, like when you were 24, you were like, that's
I'm going to be 33
finished.
In a month. And I'm like, 40's going to be here before I know it.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It sure
I think
is.
I met you when you were 32 or 33.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What are you most grateful for in your life recently?
Recently?
Mm-hmm.
The continuous health of my inner circle. I'm just flabbergasted that I'm 40 years old and still haven't had a devastating death in my family.
Hmm.
Now, that comes from an unfortunate place. I lost 3 of my 4 grandparents before I was born. But I'm very lucky.
Yeah. If you could be any pro athlete right now, who would you be and why?
Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he's probably going to be the Jets quarterback this season, and I would feel that that would put me in the most control to win a Super Bowl.
What's the pro athlete, any sport that you think resembles you the most?
That's a great question. Probably Kobe, because Kobe's super competitive. When he's in his zone on the field, I don't know Kobe. First of all, I don't know Kobe. Second of all, just I'm nasty. You know, Kobe and Don McSue, I'm bad. I'm actually a very bad guy. I wish AJ was here. I once punched AJ in the face, and that was only 7 years ago.
Wow. In a basketball game or what?
There was something very weird that happened at VaynerMedia. We play basketball every morning, and we have a couple of female players who are really legit, and one was on a breakaway, and I disproportionately flagrant fouled her, and I looked back at everybody, and the level of disgust on my friend, my employees / friends' faces. I turned back like, yeah, right? No easy baskets. And they were looking at me like, you are the worst human being on earth. I get into fights at sporting events.
Yeah, yeah.
I yell at little kids and old men. There was an old guy walking up. The Jets were beating the Steelers 2 years ago, late in the game. This 80-year-old guy's walking up the stairs in a Steelers jersey. I stand up and go, hey, old man, you're finished. And everybody laughed because they thought I was talking about the game, but I was actually talking about in life. Like, I get really, like, I think the players that are dirty or highly competitive, throw elbows, dirty players. Finnegan, that corner from, you know, Odell Beckham's little outrage. Those, I'm not a good person.
Yeah. What's something every day that's non-negotiable for you? Working out, you know,
that's
a certain amount
question.
Of sleep, a certain amount of.
That's great. That's a fun question.
Saying
nothing.
I love you to
nothing.
You know.
No, I'd be lying.
Okay.
The truth is nothing.
Is there a ritual that you follow with all this crazy madness, or is
no.
it just kind of like whatever comes up, comes up?
I think really the closest thing to it is that I think about how grateful I am.
Mm.
Gratitude is the closest. Not I love you. All the things I'd like to say for everybody think I'm a better person. Saying I love you to my wife, hugging my kids, you know, putting in a good day's work, workout, calling my mother. Like nothing.
Yeah,
that's just the truth.
When you look yourself in the mirror, what do you see and what do you say to yourself?
Probably the most egotistical things that I say. I'm probably most egoed out when I'm talking to myself. Which means that I've got a lot of confidence in ego.
Mm.
I really, whenever I talk to myself in the mirror, it's always the same thing, which is like, you're going to do it, man. You're good. Like it's real good stuff. And it's not like false pumping up. I only do it 7 times a year, but like something would have just happened, either adversity or something great. And I'll look myself and say, we got this. I got a funny, Kevin Durant walked off the field, off the court the other day against the Warriors. And it was a big game, day before the Super Bowl, and they lost. It was the first time they played, and the Warriors are having probably the greatest season of any basketball, right?
Yeah.
And he did something that me and AJ took note of. He kind of shook his head and said, okay, yeah. And he gave me that, like, okay, so you won, but we'll see you. And we got a shot. I got this.
Right.
And it was, that's what I do with myself. Like, if something good or bad's happening, I'll look myself in the mirror and be, and I'll just say, Like, I know I'm built for this.
2 minutes before a big speech or big presentation, what do you say to yourself, or what do you, is that there anything that you do?
I've got a big one today. I go into an absolute Rocky Balboa boxer zone, and I get very competitive against my audience. I want to go out there and compete with them. I want to compete for their attention versus their phone. I want to compete for the greatest talk that they've ever seen. I want to inspire them to make them understand they aren't working hard or smart enough. I just know it. I just know it. And so I get very combative with them. Equally, I'm very compassionate and want to only bring them value. I am going to this conference today. There's like 12,000 people, a lot of digital marketing shit. Yeah. There won't be a single ounce of me that cares about any one of them buying a book. It will be, and that's so different than my contemporaries. They go into sales mode. I go into the reverse. I go into, I'm going to deliver the biggest value they've ever seen in this talk, and I'm going to guilt them into discovering more about me and converting.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, three final questions.
Yes.
It is your last day. And
on Earth.
And everything you've created, and you know, you're 100 years old, everything you've created is gone. All the videos, all the Daily V's, the Ask Gary V's, everything you've ever put out there
is
erased.
Gone.
Books, everything.
I'd kill myself.
Media, gone.
I'd kill myself.
All your friends and family are there.
Kill myself.
You're healthy, you're happy, but it's the last day.
Do I know it's the last day?
It's the last day.
Okay.
You know, when you go to sleep at night, you're gonna
dead.
It's over.
Okay.
And they say, we have nothing to remember you by.
Yes.
It's all erased, everything. But here's a piece of paper and a pen.
Yes.
And you get to write down three truths, three things that you know to be true about everything that you've experienced
in life.
I
would only do one thing.
What would you write down?
I would only write one thing down.
What would that be?
51-49. I would run a 51, I'd run a slash, and I'd run a 49.
What's that mean?
It would mean that I wanted to give everybody that ever came across me 51% of the value. And that's how I live my life. I so know what to do with the 49 that I want to give 51. It's leverage. Mm. It's how I think about it. It makes me feel good. I love being liked. Lewis, look, you and I run in similar circles and around a lot of different things. You know what I'm about to say is so true, and I'm very proud of this, and I am saying this because I want everybody to hear it. Do you know how nice it feels for me to know that anybody that you talk to when my name gets brought up that knows me even a little bit thinks I'm great, and only the people that don't? Like, whatever I have in hate or they don't believe the hype or what's he really about, they just don't know me.
Yeah.
And anybody that spent any amount of time, like, listen, there could be moments in time, but I know that the 137 times I've been brought up in different cocktail parties or things like that you've rarely heard from somebody who's interacted with me negative. Right. It's always been positive, and I love that.
Yeah.
And that's 51-49, man.
I like it. I want to make sure everyone goes get the book. I have one final question. I want to make sure everyone gets the book. Where can we go to get it?
That's all, you're doing real nice by me here, but I don't think anybody's confused where they can go and get it. There's plenty of places.
Where's the main thing we're going to send people to right now? Is it the Ask Gary V? Is it the Daily V's?
I think the Daily V would be fun.
Yeah.
I think there's, because Ask Gary V, the video show, so for a lot of people that are listening, they're podcast listeners, right? So my podcast is not that strong because it's the transcribed audio from my video show. And I think Ask Gary V, the show, is really, really good. I am captivated by the reaction to Daily V.
It's amazing, yeah.
The daily vlog thing is really cool. So YouTube, Gary Vaynerchuk, youtube.com/Gary Vaynerchuk.
Cool.
Google Vaynerchuk. It's a challenge.
We'll link it up here in a second.
So I would say that because I'm curious for a lot of people here who don't know me. They watch two or three of those. I think they'll get a sense.
Yeah,
and that's
amazing.
Cool.
We'll have them on the show notes as well. Make sure to follow Gary at Gary V everywhere, especially Snapchat right now.
That's V-E-E. I'm an idiot with that terrible branding for such a smart branding guy. Two silent E's.
There you go. Before I ask the final question, I want to acknowledge you, Gary. I acknowledge all my guests at the end for being yourself 100% unapologetically you, and for not being afraid to be a dick. And I think it's a lot of people are afraid to put themselves out there because they don't want to have people hate them or be talking bad about them. And I think it's you know, a lot of people could say like you are a dick or this and that, or you've got an ego, but I think it's who you are and you care so deeply that you're willing to put it out there all on the line.
I'm only doing that because people are accepting people with bad intentions.
Right.
I'm only being a dick. Like anybody that really knows me, I'm petrified to not be liked.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Sure.
I hate it with all my heart. I'm uncomfortable in it. The only reason I'm a dick, and by the way, just for everybody who doesn't know me, the reason people think I'm a dick is because I'm combative around things that have been accepted as very lowest common denominator marketing and business tactics. I'm talking about the things that we're all whispering about in the halls.
Right.
I'm just putting them to the forefront. All the same things you're talking about, that person's really spam or they're really not that good or they're full of shit, I'm just saying it out loud in front of everybody because I want everybody to win.
Yeah. I love it. Well, I want to acknowledge you for setting the bar as well.
Thank you,
all of us to really raise our game up there. So
thank you, brother.
I appreciate it. Final question. What's your definition of greatness?
It's a great question. What's my definition of greatness? I think I got one. I think that when it's all said and done, and we've been talking a lot about legacy, that when it's all said and done, you've achieved greatness when, even though all along the way, there was a narrative of, he's a dick, or he'll never pull it off, or what has he ever really done? Greatness is when you are on that last day, both the fans and the non-fans have to accept and acknowledge the results.
JV, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, brother.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you have it, greats. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed interviewing Gary. I always love when I get to chat with him one-on-one, to get inside his mind and hopefully learn something new that I can apply to my life. Again, that's the whole goal for this podcast, is for me to continue to grow as a human being, to develop, to become a better human being and a better man in the world, but also to dive into people's minds and share with you everything that I think is actionable, resourceful, valuable stuff that we can apply in our lives. So I hope you guys are getting a lot out of this podcast. I hope you, if this is your first time, make sure to subscribe over on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher. And I hope you're sharing this. You know, consume the information, but also give it away. Give it away to your friends. Email your friends. Tag me on Instagram and on Twitter, on Facebook, and let people know. Again, this specific link is lewishouse.com/299. Also, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Someone left a comment over on one of the recent videos this week and said, wow, I just found out about your YouTube channel and I see you have all these incredible videos and interviews. So I haven't really been promoting it that much, but now I want to make sure you guys are aware of it because we have incredible video footage of a lot of these guests we've had on since starting in the beginning of this year. So make sure to check that out. It's YouTube/LewisHouse. And share this with your friends. I love you guys. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you're getting value out of this each and every episode we put out. I couldn't do this without you. So I am very grateful for all that you do to support the School of Greatness. Thank you all so very much. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night
and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.